Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
So the ministry of Jesus. So praise God for the song. Didn't know y'all were singing that. And tying into what I started kind of sensing what God is saying. So if the title of this message is the ministry of Jesus, the subtitle is Let the Old Life Go. Let it go. Let it go. So today's message will be an encouragement, a push for us to really look at our life and see what part of our life are we holding on to that God is telling us to let go. There's a lot of old ways about us that God is saying we need to let it go. Amen? Or maybe about your neighbor. It's the person sitting next to you, right? Or the person sitting in front of you. Just tell the person near you, let it go. Can y'all say it like you got like an attitude with them? Like, let it go. Like, how long are you going? How long? How long are you going to hold on to that? Let it go. Whatever it is that they're holding on to or we're holding on to. So Luke 5:27 says this. After Jesus went out and noticed a tax collector. After this, Jesus went out and noticed a tax collector named Levi or Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me as my disciple, accepting me as your master and teacher and walking the same path of life that I walk. So there's a good definition for a disciple of Jesus Christ. A disciple of Jesus Christ is someone that sees him as master, which means leader, that sees him as teacher, and that we try our best to walk the same path of life that Jesus walks. All right, so if somebody asks you, well, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Here's a good definition right there. The bottom line is, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we follow him. Amen? We follow in his steps. So you say, well, how do we follow Jesus because he's not here any longer? I love Galatians 5:16 in the Amplified says this. But I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Seek him and be responsive to his guidance. And then it says, then you will certainly not carry out the desires of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God and his precepts. But I want to focus on that top part. He says, but I say, walk habitually. In other words, make it your habit to walk with God. So day and night, night and day, let incense arise. That means that I am making it part of my life that I want to be sensitive to the move of God in my life. So that means that throughout the day, every once in a while, I check in with God to see if I'm moving the right direction. That means that even when I feel confident that I'm doing the right thing, I still check in to make sure that I'm in footstep with God. Amen? We make it a habit to seek God. We make it a habit to respond. And I love those two parts. So it's not just I'm seeking you, God, because you know you can seek and get something back and say, I don't want that. Have you ever, God, show me your will. And it comes in a package and you're like, that's probably for the house next door. That ain't for me. Wrong address. So it is seek and respond to God's guidance. So that also means that I need to be very close to God. Number one, to seek. Now, it's not like God is lost. He's very present. But Pastor Will, I don't feel, anybody ever been like that? I don't feel God's presence. It's not about feelings. It's about knowing. And it's beyond this. It's about knowing. Can you find God in his word? Yes, indeed, right? So if I can't feel him. You know, Pastor Will, there was a moment where I could feel like my prayers were hitting heaven. I feel, and I just don't feel it no longer. It is not about feelings. Do you know that your feelings can play tricks with you? So it's not about feelings. It's about knowing. And I keep pointing to my heart because it's deeper than just the knowledge knowing. You know God, I know God, but do you know God? Do you know God? Do you know him? And the only way we can get to know him, and that is a process until the day that we see him face to face, is that I got to seek him. But when I sense his direction, I got to adhere to his guidance. So it's not just, you know, Lord, and I know, look, we throw up these prayers every once in a while. You know, God, I thank you for waking me up this morning. I thank you that I wake up in my right mind and I got the activities of my limbs and I got food on the table. I got clothes in the bank or clothes, what we got? Clothes on my back, clothes in the bank or something like that. But I got clothes on my back. I got a little bit of money in the bank and all that and all those different things. But is that really seeking God? Well, praise God that it is thanking him, which can lead us to a place of seeking him. But there has to be moments where I set aside time and I just get real serious and I just really seek God. Do we have those intervals in our life where we just set aside time to seek him and stay there until I get something? We are very impatient. And I think because we know that God is ever present, that we feel like, well, if I don't connect with you here, I'll get with you on my lunch break. Or I'll get you when I get home. But there has to be a moment where I'm really seeking you, God. And based upon where we are, in our mind, our will, our emotions, it might take a moment. And at times it may feel like there's these layers that I got to go through before I feel like I really connect with God. But I'm asking you, please set aside some time to seek God. And not only because you need his direction on something, you just want to get close to him. You just want to know his ways. You just want to know the movement of his spirit in your life. You just want to go to whatever next level that he wants to take you. Yeah, we have the prayer moments. God, please, I'm asking that you will do this for me and do that. But there's some times where we just need to show up and say, Lord, I'm just here to connect with you. And wherever you are, that's where I want to be, God. Wherever you are in my life, that's where I want to be. Where are you in my life? That's where I want to be. And where should I be? And help me to get there despite my mind. Move me, God, within to where I need to be in my life. That's seeking God. That's walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Going back to that scripture, he was saying, follow me. He says, that means that you have to follow my path. If you guys can see that, it's almost as if the Holy Spirit is moving and you're walking so carefully to say, okay, all right, I want to step right where you're stepping at. Or the Holy Spirit is speaking, you're saying, I want to say what you're saying. That's a disciple. Discipleship is, as I'm following you, if you guys can see this imagery, as I'm following you, there becomes a moment where people don't even recognize, like, am I the teacher or the learner? Because I'm resembling the one that I've been following so much that there's almost not a difference. Like right now in our life, we probably can say, there's a difference between me and Jesus. Like, he said, turn the other cheek. And some of y'all might be like, and I'm not doing that. Jesus, you know, said a lot of different things. But as we tend to walk with him, we begin to walk in unison. So when people see us, they begin to glorify God. Because they sense God. You ever hear this? There's just something about you. Just something about you. Why don't we tell them what it is? There's just something about you.
Well, I don't know.
And us guys, we start, you know, I don't know. What is it? Why don't we say, well, I've been spending time with God lately. Oh, man. Whoa, they probably weren't expecting that. I've been reading my Bible a lot more lately. That might be what you're sensing. Wow, I've been praying a lot more lately. That might be what you're sensing. Really? Oh, okay. Come on, y'all. Tell them what it is that's shifting about you. Don't hold it. That's part of our witness. How will we introduce people to Christ if we never even talk about God? I'm talking about God. Like, I didn't mention talking about Christ. Like, we don't even talk about God. And then Christ. Or Christ and God. But we don't. Amen? Are y'all feeling the push? Anybody feeling the push? There's just something about you, brother. And we're like, well, you know, I'm from such and such, and it might be what you're picking up. No, God is doing something in my life. As disciples of Jesus, it is God's will for us to walk in the same path of the life that Jesus walked by his Spirit. Because the reason why I added that piece by his Spirit, sometimes people are like, look, man, Jesus walked on water. You think I'm supposed to walk on water? Come on, is the Holy Spirit leading you to walk on water? Like, does it make sense? Well, Jesus did this. Jesus cast out demons. It was all these different, this legion of demons in this man. And he walked out, he cast out these demons, and the demons went into the pigs and the swine and all that kind of stuff. You expect me to do the same? Is the Holy Spirit leading you to do that? See, it's by the Spirit. Sometimes we disqualify ourselves the moment we say, like Jesus. Y'all remember the bracelets? What would Jesus do? Right? People wearing braces, what would Jesus do? And you don't even have a relationship with Jesus. It became a thing. We're not even reading the Gospels and we're talking about what would Jesus do? Amen? I was going to throw a question out there to y'all. What was Jesus' last name? Don't answer that, please. So Luke 5:28 says this. This is talking about Matthew. Levi, Matthew, the disciple. And Matthew left everything behind and got up and began to follow Jesus as his disciple. Here's a question. Is God, so what does it mean that he left everything behind? Where was he? Right? So he was just as a tax collector. He was just at the booth. See, sometimes we try to make things deep, bigger than everything. Boom, Matthew just left everything behind. He left behind his job. Now, this is not a message saying leave your job. But what I'm saying is that bring it in. Like, where was Matthew when Jesus called him? He was at the tax booth collecting taxes on behalf of Rome. And people didn't like tax collectors. But he got up from that and followed Jesus. Amen? And it says, and began to follow Jesus. And I like looking at words. So what does begin? If you look in begin, it's kind of like, all right, I can imagine that Matthew probably is, you know, he's sitting at the table and collecting the taxes and all that kind of stuff. He's taking a little for himself because they said that some of them were a little greedy. And Jesus comes and all of that. And bam, and Matthew gets it like, oh, my goodness, I need to follow this man. And Matthew is leaving the table. I'm sure there was other tax collectors there. He's leaving. And I don't know about y'all. Like, when you begin to follow Jesus, did you just let everything go? Was there some things a little harder to let go? So it says he began. But I can imagine, y'all see my hand on the table. It's kind of like, I don't know if I really want to leave this space that I am so comfortable with. I don't know if I want to leave these people that I'm so comfortable with. But what I'll do, what I can give you, God, is I will begin to follow you. That's the same way when Peter was walking on water and he saw the waves and it says, and Peter began to sink. He didn't sink. It didn't say Matthew just immediately jumped into this thing. He began. So it's okay to take this step by step. You don't have to be like the other person around you. It has to be a personal walk with Jesus Christ. But there has to be a moment where we leave where we currently are. Listen, if nothing about our transactions change in life, is that really change? There's a preacher we listen to, he used to say, change is not change until you change. Like, you can't talk about, yeah, I'm changing, but you ain't changing. Something has to change. Something. Maybe not everything at once, but there has to be a progressive movement towards the way of God. Amen? So it says that he began to follow Jesus as his disciple. But look at this next part. It says, now Levi, or Matthew, verse 29, gave a great banquet for who? Can y'all say it real loud? For who? Hold on. He's giving a party for Jesus. Okay, I know this isn't the natural, but can I just transition to something spiritual? When's the last time you gave a party for Jesus? When's the last time you, in your own house, come on, made a great banquet for him at his house? When was the last time you said, I'm having a party, and the party is for Jesus? And not on December 25th. And not on this year, April 5th, which is Resurrection Sunday. When is the last time you went home and turned on some music that you knew Jesus would like? When's the last time we set up an environment that we knew Jesus would like? I'm talking about God coming in. And I'm not talking about a regular party. I'm talking about, when's the last time that we created a banquet? When's the last time we created a space to celebrate God? We celebrate everybody else. But why can't we blast our music? Somebody said, I do, and I praise God for that. Yeah. Bless that music. You ever, yeah, you hear the vehicles coming? And you're like, if they don't turn that down, and you can't even hear the words, how about we turn up our music? But let them hear the words. But listen to this. But let us not do it just so that they can hear it. I'm having a party for Jesus. In other words, what I'm saying is, I'm creating an atmosphere where God will want to tabernacle with me. Yeah, I know God is on the inside of us, but there's something about the presence of the Lord filling a place. When's the last time we threw a banquet for Jesus? Matthew, he says, and he gave a great banquet for Jesus. I'm just going to put Jesus' name in there. At Matthew's house, and there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others who were reclining at the table with him. Wow. So it's possible that the people that he just left are now at the party. So wait a minute. So Matthew just evangelized a whole industry of people. He just brought all these people into the presence of the Lord. Wow. They were Jewish people, but they may not have been disciples of Jesus Christ, followers of Jesus Christ. And Matthew invites them not because he's having a party for them. He's having a party for Jesus. Amen. I say this sometime when couples are about to get married. I say, listen, who is this wedding for? And a lot of times our weddings are for who? Other people. And we spend all this money so that other people can have a good time. Why don't we start investing in ourselves? So if you're about to get married, this is my marriage premarital counseling for you. Stop spending a bunch of money for a bunch of people to take pictures and all that. And then when the party is over and the gifts and you got all the gifts and all that kind of stuff, then the two of you are looking at each other like, now how are we going to do this thing? Everybody else is going. Throw the party for you. Invite Jesus to the party. If you're looking to get married, invite God to the altar. Stop worrying about whatever other people are thinking. Invite them to the Jesus party. But sometimes it's like I'm throwing a party for other people. And a lot of times this is where we get it twisted with churches, where it's like, instead of me saying, God, what do you want? We say, what do the people want? And now it's no longer about God, it's about the people. And now I'm afraid to say what it is that I feel the Lord is saying, sing what it is the Lord is singing, because we're so concerned about the people. We're not doing it for the people, we're doing it for God. And this is even for our personal lives. Are you doing this thing called being a Christian for you or for somebody else? If you are doing it for somebody else, you might as well pack it up and start over. Don't do this walk called Christian for somebody else. Do it for your relationship with God. Come on. Amen. You read your Bible today. Oh, yeah. Don't read because they asking you to read. Don't pray because they asking you to pray. I'm doing it because I want to be close to God. Amen. Now, sometimes we depend upon people to help us get started. But come on, you got to get this relationship with God on your own. You have to. Because if not, all of a sudden it will be counterfeit. You will think that you're following God only to look up and see somebody else. I've been there. And you think, well, this is how God would do it. But the reality is, that's how they're doing it. And it's not how God is doing it. But because I trusted them when I was a babe in Christ, I'm finding myself doing this walk the way people do it, rather than finding out the way that God wants me to do it. So God is challenging, I think, a bunch of people in here and those that might be listening. You have to have a personal relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. It is okay in the beginning stages to use someone else. Like, okay, how do you read the Bible? How did you start reading the Bible? Okay, I started reading John first because that's like one of the easiest gospels. Okay, and then I switched over to Proverbs and Psalm. Okay, all right. But at some point, you've got to get this thing on your own. And every once in a while, maybe check in with them. But I don't want you to look up. Can y'all see that? I give my life to Jesus Christ, and I'm following a person so close that I think I'm following God. And I look up, and I'm like, whoa, it's a person. I'm following a personality and not a divine God. Are y'all hearing me? Because there is some strong personalities. Strong personalities and atmospheres. Man. I remember I used to start preaching like people that I used to hear preach because I was so close to them. But then I had to get in a place and connect with God for myself. And then I found my voice. Then I found my prayer. Then I found my hunger for the word of God. Seek ye first. Come on. The kingdom of God. And his righteousness. And I know that scripture is talking about materialistic things, but then it says, and all these things will be added. But we got to see God, y'all. Amen? Well, the voice of God sounds like my grandma. Okay, that's okay in the early stages, but I need you to hear. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The voice of God sound like that sound like my pastor. The voice of God sound like, any men in here? The voice of God sound like my wife. As we prepare to wrap this up, look at this. The Pharisees, they always around, and the scribes, seeing those with whom Jesus was associating, they begin murmuring in discontent to his disciples. So they ain't say nothing directly to Jesus. They're talking to the people around him. Why are you eating and drinking with the tax collectors and sinners, including non-observant Jews? So they hated the tax collectors. They felt they were greedy. But look at that last part, the non-observant Jews. So they're Jews, but they're not observing the law, these Pharisees believe. And so they're, listen, can I just say this to you? There may be people murmuring and complaining about your new walk in God. Let them murmur and complain. Have you seen what they're wearing lately? Have you seen or heard how they pray lately? They don't even hang out with us like they used to. They're hanging out with them other people. There might be people talking about you. Let them talk. I said this during our Foundations of Faith class. If you have a relationship with God and you're walking close with him, be prepared to be uncomfortable. And it's okay. It's like sitting in a comfortable seat, your favorite seat, and somebody asks you, can you get me something from the kitchen? And you're like, I just found that spot. And that's how God is. Please hear what I'm saying. I'm going to close on this. Please hear what I'm saying. God is the God of all comfort, but he will invite you into spaces to make you uncomfortable. And so if you are walking with God and you are starting to feel a little uncomfortable, but you know you are walking with God, you are in a good space. But what happens many times is that we feel uncomfortable because it's unfamiliar and we want to go back to the old way. And God is saying to us right now, let go of the old life. Let it go. Just because this new walk with God is a little uncomfortable, don't mean that you're off course. It just means that you have stepped into a space that is a little unfamiliar. Stop moving so much. Stop. You're shifting too much. You're shifting too much. Keep moving. Move. Move forward. Stop shifting. Back and forth. It's uncomfortable, God. I don't know if I'm in the right spot. And today, if this is you, God is saying, you're in the right spot. Listen, you're seeking. This is what God is. You're seeking me. And you're responding. So you're just stepping into an unfamiliar space. It's okay. But whatever you do, don't go back. Don't go back. Don't go back. Even if for a moment you're like a deer in headlights and you just stop, don't go back. But don't stop too long. Because what can happen is life can shift. And you can find yourself shifting back because you're not moving. I hope somebody is hearing me. Listen, I'm going to say this again. If you know that you are walking with God, right? Come on, you're walking with God. You ain't just out here doing whatever type. You're walking with God and you are in an uncomfortable space. It's okay. You've never been here before. It's okay. It's all right. And can I say this? You're going to have to watch what people are saying around you. Because some people might not be where you are. So you're here, and they're back here, and they're like, Will, come back. We miss you. And you've got to know, I can't go back. I can't go back. I'm talking about in our walk with God. And however that translates in your life in the physical, so be it. But I'm talking about our walk with, our spiritual walk with God. If you are feeling uncomfortable, it's okay. You are with the God of all comfort. I would rather be uncomfortable with the God of all comfort than rather be uncomfortable and trying to figure it out what I'm supposed to be doing. Stop panicking. Stop panicking. Stop. So there's a few people in here that God is saying it to. I'm in an uncomfortable place. I feel like I'm always in an uncomfortable place. But moving forward in God. And you're going to look back, and some of y'all, and this is the reason why journaling is so important. If you're not journaling, journal. Because every once in a while, you've got to look back and be like, wow. And nobody else is going to get it but you and God. This time last year, woo. I'm not saying it's about me. I probably was a mess. But this time last year, you could say I was a mess in like some area of my life. Amen. So get comfortable being uncomfortable, but it's okay. Please do not wiggle your way out of God's will. Our grandson, very hard to just these days for me to just pick him up. So you know what I do? But that's, have you ever felt your way like that in God? It's like, where are you going? And for him, he just want to take off. He wants to explore. Can I say this? Okay, I got to wrap this up, but I could just feel, some of y'all, you're exploring too much. Stop exploring. And using this for our grandson, we put him down. Y'all probably seen him. He's running, and he will go all in these different areas. And it's like, where are you going? And just exploring. And some of us are just trying to get out of God's will, and then we finally get wherever it is, and then we just exploring, and we're just walking around and just like... So for some, I believe God is saying, settle. You need to settle down. You need to settle down. If you're walking with God, you're feeling uncomfortable, it's okay. It's okay. But stop being antsy and stop blaming your antsiness on something that you were diagnosed with. Because I believe sometime there... Okay, I've really got to wrap. I keep looking at the clock. Really got to wrap this up. But listen, there's a difference between a spiritual movement and a mental type of movement thing. Please hear what I'm saying. So mentally, I can deal with like anxiety or impatience. Like impatience. I get impatient sometime, right? I'm kind of glancing over at Tremaine to see if she's just like looking at me, right? But just because I'm impatient in the natural don't mean I need to be impatient spiritually. I need to sit myself down spiritually. Just because I'm dealing with anxiety in my natural mind for whatever reason don't need that I need to be dwelling in an anxious place with God. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So because sometimes we'll say, well, this is just who I am. Well, you need to come on. Don't be that. Be who it is that God wants you to be in his presence. Listen, because as you spend time with him, then you will be renewed when you go back to this. But if I'm like, but this is just how I am, man. And then I take that and I go into God's presence and say, God, I'm just an anxious person. And God is saying, I need you to be still and know that I am God. I can't be still because I'm anxious. And God is like, you know what? Because you're not listening spiritually. Amen.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in his love, and live out his purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.